graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Is that the last donut with red, white, and blue sprinkles? What did I tell you would happen if you ate the last donut with red, white, and blue sprinkles?
A little foggy on it, but I think it was something like raining down hellfire.
That's right.
And here I am without an umbrella.
I feel a storm brewing.
It's just a coincidence that you were talking about the Jack and Triumph show and I'm here.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
This needs war.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, guy makes all those unlistenable podcasts over at Smodcast.com, and you're listening to the Two Strangers One Podcast. This is podcasting.
You're listening to Two Strangers One Podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes or on the Stitcher app for Android devices. Please visit TwoStrangersOnePodcast.net. Now, here's Chris Colon and Paul Pasquillo.
Well, hello and welcome to Two Strangers One Podcast. I'm Chris.
And I am not Paul.
Yes, in true Civil War fashion, two factions are coming together, or not coming together, tearing each other apart.
And I don't think we're going to tear each other apart here, because I'm pretty sure we're in agreement that this movie was awesome.
No, it wasn't. Okay, no, that's fake drama.
Don't be yourself, sir. I'm Sketch, the host and editor of the Toonami Faithful podcast.
And back when they announced Civil War, Captain America Civil War, there had been a meme starting around the internet where it was like a screenshot of Tony Stark and a screenshot of Captain America, then saying Civil War, and it was always like, Coke and Pepsi and McDonald's and Burger King. And so I had made one that said, the Toonami Faithful podcast, Two Strangers on Podcast, Civil War. So I'm like super excited because you had actually contacted me. Like, you had saw the movie, and you were so jazzed, like, to talk about it, that you're like, Chris, let's do a podcast. And I was super jazzed.
Chris, you need to see this movie so we can talk about it.
And yeah, because you had contacted me on Friday, and with my work schedule, I saw this movie, I was up over 24 hours.
Did that recently.
And after I got your text, I'm like, oh, shit, I have to go see it now. So I went to go see, the 3 o'clock show. Luckily, it was still matinee pricing. And let's just say that after over 24 hours of being awake, my eyelids did not droop during this movie, which unfortunately they did droop during Batman, the second viewing of Batman v Superman. I said I wanted to see it again. I loved Batman v Superman. Not that I loved it. That's not the best way to put it. But when I saw Batman v Superman, it wasn't what I always say. It wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I was expecting. But I enjoyed it nonetheless.
So I would not watch that movie again so soon, but I thought it was watchable.
And it was
definitely had problems.
Huge, huge, gigantic problems. But I get where they were going with it. You know what I'm saying? You take all continuity, yeah, Throw it out the window, and watch it as its own standalone product. I get it. And I think the biggest FU, and of course this episode is supposed to be about Civil War, but we'll talk about Batman v Superman for a second. I liked the fact that that they based Lex Luthor on Max Landis. You know, a guy who's made a career. I mean, he's written a couple of movies and stuff like that. And I actually liked Victor Frankenstein. I liked Chronicle. But he's an asshole. He's known best on the internet for being an asshole. And he's done these at-length videos kind of bashing the whole how they handled the death of Superman. And if he could do a movie
podcast edit, unfortunately, people will have technical problems when recording these podcasts. And unfortunately, that's what happened here. So we lost a chunk of the conversation. So we're going to bring you guys back to where we left off. And here we go. Thank you for listening.
There we go.
All right. And we're back.
And we're back. I forgot what I was talking about.
we were talking about Captain America, the Winter Soldier, I think.
Yeah.
The second one.
Yeah, so okay, let me see. I totally lost my train of thought because unfortunately my Wi-Fi signals just totally dropped out on me. But basically what I liked about the movie is that Captain America Winter Soldier was not a superhero movie, not in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
It was a spy espionage, almost. I mean, not that it was, you know, not that it's anywhere like a James Bond or Bourne Ultimatum or something like that, but
it is kind of Bourne-ish.
Yeah.
If
Bourne had a shield, that would crash into people's faces and totally defy the laws of physics. And there was there was a whole video I watched about, like, you know, it totally makes no sense. If vibranium is a metal that absorbs everything, then it would not be able to bounce off things. You would just throw it and it would just clunk against whatever wall you threw it at. But you know what? Screw physics. We're talking about, you know, a guy who took a couple of injections and became a super soldier. So, So do you want to go spoiler now that we've kind of exhausted?
Well, no, we should talk a bit about
what we thought.
Let's give the general rundown of the third movie.
I guess the Sokovia Accords. Basically, it's they look at the destruction that happened because of, you know, the Avengers, and they looked at the destruction that happened because of the Avengers 2. You know, New York, Washington, D.C., Sokovia. And the government kind of steps in and says, you know, well, you know, you guys should really register yourselves as, because, you know, you're working outside of the law, and you should, you know, and then they go, you need to like report to like the United Nations, which
the United Nations create a panel that would decide when and where the Avengers would operate.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, come on, this gives way too much credit to the United Nations. Like, I can't. I mean, even in a world
where I love that line that T'Challa says about how two people can accomplish more than 100 people, because he doesn't like politics. I guess that's varying his spoiler territory. All right, so in the MCU up to this point, the Avengers have had two huge battles, one in New York City, one in Sokovia, which unfortunately ended very badly. They tried to save as many people as they could, but the amount of people that died in that incident is staggering. So naturally there is some backlash to that, but what really triggers this is another incident where innocent lives were lost because the Avengers were trying to take down Crossbones, who was stealing a chemical weapon.
And this is the new Avengers. And
he just kind of see, yeah, this is the new Avengers.
This is the Avengers that we see at the end of Age of Ultron.
Yeah, at the end of Age of Ultron, Iron Man has stepped down, Thor has returned to Asgard, Hulk has disappeared to who knows where. And so the new Avengers are led by Captain America, and it includes War Machine, Vision, who is created in Age of Ultron, Scarlet Witch, Wanda, who was met in Age of Ultron, and technically Hawkeye's still with them, but he retires by the time that this movie starts, and Sam Wilson, Falcon, he's in there, and
which
I said
War Machine. Which will always be Red Falcon to me. You call him Falcon all you want, he'll always be Red Falcon. But go on.
Okay. Wasn't he originally just called Falcon?
It's so weird. I say I'm not into comics, but I guess I was. And whenever his character came up, it was always Red Falcon. You know, it's like, it's funny how they call him Falcon now, and I guess, you know, they don't want to.
I think that's something that was established maybe later on, because originally he was just Falcon, or the Falcon, and he was one of, after Bucky, he was Captain America's sidekick for a while, and then they got billed together in Captain America and Falcon. So that connection has actually been there in the comics, which is interesting, because it kind of seems like, at least in the movie universe, he's just some other guy from the military that Captain America meets one time, is like, hey, I like you, let's hang out. And then I got this government conspiracy, I can't trust everybody in S.H.I.E.L.D. You want to help me out, bro? Like, well, I just met you, but you're Captain America, you so okay.
And you can jog and you can give directions. You can let people know that you're coming up on their left. So let me give you
be my wingman.
Incredible government-sponsored technology to fly because, you know,
yeah.
You're in the military and you're
running. And now it seems like his new stuff is probably redesigned by Stark because it's definitely higher tech than what he had.
Now maybe I must be going crazy because I'm sorry not to cut you off. As you know, I'm googling it and maybe I'm going crazy. I could have sworn it was always Red Falcon, and I'm like googling it, and it's everyone has him just as Falcon.
You feel like you're thinking of Red Robin, which is one of the versions of Robin.
Mm-hmm. But go on. I'm sorry,
whatever.
Red Falcon.
So Falcon, and we've established that Falcon and Captain Rogers are you know, they're pretty tight, particularly at this point. So they're definitely friends. And he has his new Avengers, and we've rattled off all their names. And Iron Man, he was gonna retire, but he apparently hasn't.
Yeah.
And now at the beginning of this movie, he's trying to do goodwill to ease his conscience.
Now, I love how at the end of Iron Man 3, he blows up all his suits, right? You know, that was sort of like the big sacrifice end of Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
There's a suit in Age of Ultron.
And he has a suit.
And this well, one only has a suit. He has a, you know, what he has, like, something that comes out of his wrist, like a wristwatch sort of a deal that sort of, like, becomes
a hand. That's pretty neat. You've seen that in the trailers when he grabs a gun from Bucky. Mm-hmm. So he has, when he doesn't have a full suit, he at least has a pulser that can, you know, be useful in various ways. Mm. So that's
I mean, neat. You know, he had Happy Hogan holding the briefcase, but I guess... That had the whole Iron Man. I'm just saying is that I love how in part two they make the big end. And by the time Iron Man 3, and by the time they had announced Iron Man 3, they had pretty much denounced the rest of like the planned movies, especially at that time with there being a Avengers 2, Infinity War 1 and 2. You know, we know he's coming back. So that whole sacrifice at the end of Iron Man 3 is not, you know, he's a billionaire.
Yeah,
he blew up his toys.
It's disingenuous. Yeah.
Big whoop.
It's like, I destroyed all of my suits.
I broke all my toys.
Yeah.
My girlfriend was unhappy. So go on. I'm sorry. Yeah. I keep interrupting you.
Right, so the general plot of this is the United Nations feel like the Avengers have been operating with no oversight, and that needs to change. So they hit him with an ultimatum, and Tony Stark, having recently been guilt-tripped by a woman, and this is one thing it has in comparison to the comic, is really it's not the same woman, but it's just another woman named, I think, Maria. I forget.
Which is
but
played by
she,
in this movie. Go on, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, she's played by somebody who's going to show up in Luke Cage.
Oh, okay, because I was kind of worried. I was concerned about that because in Alfre Woodard was the name of the actress. And I'm like, here's this like relatively, okay, maybe not A-list celebrity, but B celebrity. You know, here's someone who has freaking acting chops and gravitas and all this other stuff. And she's in the movie, you know, I thought she was going to come back in the movie. I don't know. I didn't realize you just said they're going to bring her back for Luke Cage. I was what the hell? You know, that she's as you have this great, great actor, and she's in a movie for like, you know, two minutes. I mean, even when they had like Robert Redford, at least Robert Redford.
I'm sure it was a good paycheck.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, it's so weird because, you know, we're so spoiled. And we'll get into the spoilers later. This movie does redirect you or misdirect you a couple of times because I thought, wow, you know, they're bringing Alfre Woodard in to play this character, the mom. She's definitely going to come back. And I guess it's not really a spoiler, but you don't see her for the rest of the movie. I mean, she makes her impact and she moves on, you know, or we don't see her again. I don't know if they had other scenes with her and they just got hit the
Which is interesting
floor.
Because in the Civil War comic, the person is essentially that character who is guilt-tripping Tony Stark because her son died because of bad judgment by the Avengers. She pops up a lot in the Civil War comic and is even with Tony, I believe, at the end. And there's like, you've done good, Tony Stark, or something like that. So it's interesting that she's just there, and maybe in a director's cut she pops up again. I don't know, but that definitely didn't happen in this movie. So the Avengers, they go to Logos and they try to stop Crossbones from stealing a chemical weapon. And Crossbones seems to be doing this just to fight Captain America. It seems like that's his whole goal, is to fight Captain America. Mm-hmm. Because Captain America, because this guy is Brock Rumlow, who was in Winter Soldier, he had freaking building dropped on his face. So he kind of hates Captain America and Captain America's team, but particularly Captain America. And he gives Captain America a pretty good fight in that initial scene, I would say.
Yeah.
But
power punches.
He kills himself.
Which, and it reminds me of the boots from Super Mario those Brothers. Are pretty
cool. Oh, man! Those are like the boots from Super Mario Brothers.
He just put them on his hands. He put them on his fists.
He got them from Big Bertha at the Boom Boom Club.
For those who play Fallout 4, there's a character, it's called Power Fist. And it's there. That is a melee weapon you could put on your. But you would think, hydraulics on your arm. It's still on your arm.
I don't know. He's got like pointy things at the end of him too. I don't know. Whatever he has, it's helping him fight Captain America and not get shocked by Black Widow. So the Avengers stop him, but the cost is a lot of collateral damage and several innocent lives from Wakanda are lost. And Wakanda is kind of a reclusive country in Africa that is the most technologically advanced country in the universe, in the Marvel universe anyway. And now the Avengers are being given an ultimatum. You need to sign this and agree to these terms or you can't do what you do anymore. And Tony Stark, freshly guilt-tripped by this woman, is feeling, and before he had, he felt really awful about what happened in Sokovia.
Yeah,
because let's be honest here, it's pretty much just his fault. Because
yeah, right.
if not for him, Ultron probably would not have existed.
And even in Iron Man 3, they kind of have him with the PTSD from what happened in New York.
Yeah. So Tony Stark creates all of his own enemies.
And what I love is that, of course, yes, this is a Disney franchise, but here we are, he's had three solo movies, two Avengers movies, a major part in Captain America, and they've yet to bring in his alcoholism. You would think this would be the perfect time to bring in, well, I guess not if he's trying to redeem himself, but, of a guy who has so many demons and,
drunk,
his character. Well, he's drunk, but I mean, 12-step fall down drunk, was far.
Yeah. No.
And of course, it's a Disney movie, but you would think this would be a perfect avenue.
Probably the closest to that we saw was in the first first Iron Man movie, when he's living a very reckless lifestyle before he becomes the Iron Man.
Well, yeah, in part one, the first scene you see him, he's in a Jeep holding a drink. And then part two, he's War Machine have that fight at the party at the mansion where he's kind of stumbling drunk a little bit. But,
he's in his own armor. That's a nice feature.
You would think that, the guy's here, like I said, he's been in five movies or,
Yes, it is surprising.
Parts in other ones, they've yet to bring up the alcohol.
Maybe that's a Disney thing. Maybe they just feel like they don't need to.
Yeah.
Because Tony Stark has enough demons as it is.
He's getting PTSD.
But that's a good reason for him to... Maybe they did use the PTSD as kind of the substitute.
Yeah, because he was always haunted. That was like his thing. He was always kind of like he always had his inner demons he had to fight. So I guess, make a little bit more palatable, instead of having it be alcohol or whatever. But
yeah, right. So Tony Stark is feeling real bad about all of the things that the Avengers have both prevented and caused. It's like alcohol, the solution and cause of all of life's problems.
Homer Simpson,
right?
1991 or whatever.
That is such a great episode with the Prohibition. Love it. And so now
I liked how they did show pretty cool teamwork. My particular one was when Wanda does what in the X-Men they call the fastball special, where Wanda uses her magic to throw Captain America to the 10th floor of a building or something.
Cool. we're trying not to get into spoiler territory yet.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just trying to give the general rundown of the movie. So
okay, gotcha.
With the established that the Avengers, hello telephone. great. Now that the Avengers have been given this ultimatum, Tony Stark is feeling like, yeah, you know, we need to be put in check, whatever it takes, so I'm willing to sign this, you should all sign this. But Captain America, Steve Rogers, is feeling like, freshly from his previous bad experience of following the orders of the government and not thinking for himself, he's feeling like having the UN decide if and when they should go is not a good idea. Which is understandable if you consider what he's been through up to this point.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. A lot of people who don't follow the movies always get upset, and they're like, "Oh, how could he be against the government?" Well, he was for the government until it got infiltrated by S.H.I.E.L.D. or he was supporting a government that, I guess, you know, spoiler for Captain America: Winter Soldier, you know, has been controlled by Hydra, or at least parts of it have been controlled by Hydra since the 50s. So, you know, you got to give him credit for not, you know, having faith in a system and then losing all that faith, rightfully so, because, you know.
He no longer has faith in a system. Mm-hmm. He believes the safest hands are their own, which is kind of a dangerous thing to think, mm-hmm. because obviously the Avengers can and do make mistakes, and they are costly mistakes. So a lot of the Avengers are okay with doing, you know, Rhodey signs, Vision signs, Tony Stark signs, even though he's kind of not active. So he's just kind of there, kind of as mediation, because he sort of owns the Avengers. Mm-hmm. He pays for all of their stuff and everything, but he's not an active combatant at this point. Mm-hmm. Whereas Captain America leads every mission and uses however many Avengers that he needs for whatever mission, you know, whatever gets the job done. And they've been working without any oversight for, I think they said, a couple of years. So the time has come to give them oversight, and this is the form that it's taking, and Tony Stark is all for it, and Captain America is not. Now, this leads to many confrontations as the Black Panther gets involved for reasons that we won't go into yet, and eventually Tony Stark gets the assistance of another superhero. And these two characters are introduced to the Marvel film universe through this movie. And I have to say, they did an excellent job of introducing both without beating us over with backstory.
Yes.
Which is very important, because obviously these characters are going to get their solo movies, in which case they can give you all that backstory. But you got the gist of these characters. You understood their motivations. You saw their personalities.
Yeah, but I could honestly say that I am excited about seeing both movies. You know, obviously Spider-Man.
Absolutely. Oh man, I cannot wait.
You know, Spider-Man's been done to death, and I'm kind of glad that they didn't, you know, it's not really, and it's not spoilers. We did not see one radioactive spider in this movie, nor do I think we need to, and nor do I think we're going to in the Sony movie. I think it's given us a good enough jump off point where they understand, you know, Marvel understands what other studios don't seem to understand, where you don't have to spoon feed an origin story yet a third time, Batman v Superman, and you know, and with Black Panther, once again, you can easily veer now with this movie. You can easily veer off into the next Black Panther movie without touching at all about the hits. You know, I mean, you know, of course, you know, there's going to be plenty of what's the word I'm looking for? You know, when you talk about stuff in the past while trying to make it sound like you're talking about something current, you know,
flashbacks,
and I mean, it's on the tip of my tongue and it's killing me.
Exposition.
You know, you don't, I mean, of course, I'm pretty sure there's gonna be plenty of exposition in Black Panther, but you know, it's given us a good solid jumping off point where you can have a Black Panther movie without having, you know, whatever happened to, you know, little T'Challa, you know, whatever. So, mm-hmm. So, you know, thank God.
Yeah, exactly. So, ugh, can't talk today. All right. So, with those players established, the other major player here is the Winter Soldier, who, as you would know if you've seen Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and in fact, it's mentioned in other movies since, ever since then, Captain America and Falcon and whoever else has been looking for the Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes. probably to bring him in, but also because Cap just wants to keep an eye on him. But, so they haven't been able to find him, and now he's allegedly the reason for yet another tragedy. So the government, this new panel of the UN, all these organizations are trying to catch the Winter Soldier. He is enemy number one. Everybody has orders to shoot on sight. And now, naturally, Captain America's like, whoa, 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 we got to find out what really happened here. I don't think he did it. So I'm going to try and save him. I'm going to try and bring him in. And, you know, if he really is, if he really is the reason, the cause of what happened, then I should bring him in because I'm least likely to die trying.
Yeah.
Because obviously the Winter Soldier is a trained killer.
Not my assassin friend.
Not my assassin friend. I'm going to bring him in.
He's not a killer.
The very, very first moment of this movie takes us back to 1991, where the Winter Soldier had a particular mission that relates to everything else that happens. So I won't get into that yet. But naturally, the Winter Soldier had many missions while he was under the control of Hydra, and many things to regret, but... You know, can you really hold him accountable to those things? Because some would say yes, some would say maybe.
Because apparently, most would say
he at least should be incarcerated.
Because they keep
like
they keep,
he's a danger to himself and everyone else. So yeah,
I mean, obviously they've perfected cryogenic freezing because they freeze him and they bring him back. You know, he runs a mission and they throw him back in the freezer. He comes back. I mean, you know, I mean, apparently he's been doing this was an ongoing thing. He wasn't just frozen all this time. He's yeah. You know, they defrost him. They get, you know, he handles his mission. Then they pop him back in the freezer. And it's like, you know, I don't know. You know, exactly. Apparently there's no long term effects of being frozen and refrozen.
So the whole world is seriously.
This episode of Two Strangers, One Podcast is brought to you by Comics Etc. 1115 East Main and North Goodman at the Hungerford Building, door number 8. Find out more information at comicsetc.biz or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/comicsetc1.
Click and Hit, enhancing the experience for all recreational smokers. Click and Hit is a one-handed portable vaporizer. This smoking pipe has a compact four-stage design, complete with a built-in windproof butane refillable torch lighter. The large burn chamber holds your stash of legal herb or pipe tobacco. Click the button to ignite and inhale as usual. When you are done, put it back in your pocket for later. Smoke anytime with the touch of a button. No more carrying around grinders and tins. Pipe, rolling papers, and even your lighter at home. The Click and Hit cordless vaporizer is no bigger than a normal cigar, making it the world's smallest and most discreet vaporizer. It's perfect for use in small places or shared rooms. It's efficient, getting 5 to 8 draws from your packed chamber. It's affordable at just $19.95 each. Buy 3 and the shipping is free. Buy 4 and you get the 5th one free. Visit www.click-hit.com. That's clickandhit.com.
And now for listeners of Two Strangers, One Podcast, you can use promo code STRANGERS and receive 10% off your purchase at clickandhit.com. That's promo code STRANGERS for 10% off your purchase.
So the whole world's after the Winter Soldier, shoot to kill, don't even try to bring him in, just he's done something terrible and we need to kill him. And Captain America wants to at least figure out what's going on. So he goes, once again, and this, you know, flushes Bucky out, and he's able to find him finally. And now some of these heroes are on one side, and some of these heroes are on the other side, and it's very complicated, and there's a lot of gray, but everybody believes that they're very right in whatever side they are on. And there is a huge battle towards the end of this movie, not the very end of this movie, because actually there is a villain in this movie, and we'll get into that in a moment.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to go on. It's hard to go past this point without getting into spoilers, in my opinion. Yeah,
so here's the rundown. Fantastic action, great character dynamics. They nail all of these characters. The introduction of Black Panther and Spider-Man are so solid. and all of the characters, somehow they manage to balance like a dozen characters and do it well. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself is an accomplishment. So bravo to the Russo brothers, because that is just sensational. And this is, though it is very much a Captain America movie, it is the Avengers sequel that I wanted.
It's not the one we deserve. It's the one we, what is it? It's not the, we're not the hero Gotham deserves, a hero the Gotham needs. Yeah,
something like that.
It's not the Avengers sequel we deserved.
Age of Ultron had some great moments, like that opening scene where they're fighting Hydra. I was giddy through pretty much that entire scene. I was like, this is so cool! They're all fighting together! It's so great! But it also had a decent amount of problems. It's a fun watch, and it's essential because this is definitely a sequel to that. And if you haven't seen that one, you're going to be a little lost.
Yeah, I mean, you should probably see. I mean, I think required viewing would be Avengers, Age of Ultron, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and then this. Mm-hmm. I think those are the. I mean, obviously, you should watch all. You should have seen all of them by now, but you know that's sort of the required.
You probably should see one or two of the Iron Man movies, because it's very important to understand where Tony Stark is coming from and where Steve Rogers is coming from, mm-hmm. because that really is the reason why it works. If you just decide to put them on opposite sides and not really lead up to it, it doesn't work, as we can say about some other movies. So, yeah, at this point, I'm going to say, I loved it. You loved it?
I loved it. I do have to say, and it's funny, this is a true sequel, true Avengers sequel, because like the first Avengers, the beginning was... the second half of the movie makes up for the first half of the movie, you know, and mm-hmm. that's how I felt much about the Avengers. As much as I love these Marvel movies and I love the Avengers movies, you know, I think it's safe to say the first half is a little boring, or not boring. That's not the right word, but just like, you know, stuff could have been cut. And, you know, then the second half makes up for it all. You know, it's sort of like, you know, you have to eat your vegetables before you get to the ice cream, you know, and I get that, you know, and I loved it. It's in my opinion, it's the best Marvel movie to date. You know, especially and exactly like you said, to juggle so many plates, to have so much stuff going on, where you have characters, you know, characters that, you know, a character like Iron Man who's already been in five movies, then introducing Black Panther and Spider-Man, which, you know, and making those compelling enough that we want to come back and see those characters again. It's a phenomenal feat, and much, you know, much props to Marvel and Disney and the Russo brothers and everyone involved to, you know, make such a incredible movie. Like I said, it's eating your vegetables to get scream, you know, and I, the beginning is a little slow, but then once it picks up, oh, Jesus Christ, it's so good.
Oh, so yeah.
Definitely a see it, or, you know, mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 or something like
that. I saw it twice.
I plan on seeing it again. I'm just sort of busy and broke.
And that's, well, yeah. That's usually the reason why I don't see a movie again. But I haven't been as compelled to watch a Marvel movie again immediately after seeing it in a while. I think I kind of felt that way about Winter Soldier, but at the same time, I felt like, I could wait. Yeah. Definitely did not feel like watching Age of Ultron immediately after seeing it. Ant-Man, maybe, because Ant-Man was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, and Guardians of the Galaxy was also a lot of fun. But this movie was like, oh man, that was so good. I need to see it again right now. So I did. The next day I caught a matinee. Also, I saw it in 3D the first time because my friend bought the tickets and that was just the only thing he could get. So... yeah, as far as 3D movies go, like 3D stops working for me pretty much immediately. So it does nothing for me. But it didn't detract from the movie per se, because the action is so well filmed. There's like no shaky cam, none of that action movie trope bullshit that is in so many action movies, that like if you watch a freaking Transformers movie, you don't know what's happening. And it's really annoying. You watch this movie, you're like, okay, I can see everything that's going on here. It's all very clear. The camera movement isn't jagged. It's all good. It's smooth. You know, it's not as perfect as seeing it, you know, firsthand, but it's all very well filmed. So you have great casting, great acting, just phenomenal performances from all the people involved. Excellent direction, good balance between all of these characters, a lot of storylines intersecting, and it's all just such a crazy juggling act, and they did it. They did it, and that should be commended, because so many movies absolutely fail at that.
Now, one also, I mean, it's funny to say, like, I'm the ones complaining here. Now, obviously, when you watch the credits, and I'm not going to talk about the post-credit scenes, but obviously, you sit through the credits and you kind of look at the screen, and they had a lot of computer animation houses working on this. You know, I guess you know they contract, subcontract a lot of people. One tiny complaint: in the beginning of the movie, the bad guys and the action scenes, and this is definitely in Age of Ultron. Also, the characters look rubbery. Like in my, maybe it's just me. You know, like it, you know, it didn't feel like in the beginning. And of course, at the beginning of the movie, those guys don't really matter. So you know, and then you know, as the movie progresses, the animation obviously gets 100 times better. So that was one tiny complaint. The one thing I do have to say, and this isn't really like spoiling it, you know, there is a high speed car chase with Black Panther and Captain America and
Winter Soldier. The trailers.
And so yeah, that's not about spoiling it, but these guys are running as fast as the cars. And I do have to give whoever did that animation credit, because it didn't look cheesy. It looked like human beings running as fast as cars. And I got to give, for some reason, there's another thing we'll get into spoilers, another part that I really, really liked. But as for like not practical, it's not the right word. As for the digital effects, in the beginning, things looked rubbery. But when it got to time to like people running as fast as cars, I dug that. I put special props for that scene.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that is. It's CG, isn't it?
When you're watching it, I'm assuming it's some sort of CG or whatever, or, some sort of manipulations going on there.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not totally computer generated, but, when these guys are running and it looks like human beings running at top speed, but they're also running the same speed as cars driving down the highway.
As far as advertising goes, they had a car advertisement that played out that scene, and they played it out from the perspective of, I don't remember which company it did, but they played out from this perspective of a family in a vehicle during that car chase.
Oh, I'm
seeing all of that happen. It's okay.
And then of course there was a
huge, they're like, what's going on here?
And it was obvious.
Okay, that's kind of clever.
Well, I think they did that. Didn't they do that in Iron Man also?
Probably.
I'm just saying, I could have sworn Iron Man. Well, Iron Man had, I think Audi was, kind of like a product placement. And but I'm trying to remember. I think I'm confusing that because. I think maybe it's the Dark Knight or whatever. I don't know. I forget. And then there was a super obvious Nestle where, someone gets shot.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely some of that stuff.
Nestle Poco Sticks.
Some of that stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so,
the other thing to say is, as far as the big action moments go, as you've seen in the trailer, there is a great fight between Captain America, Bucky, and Iron Man. Great fight there. Kind of a gut-wrenching fight, actually. And then there's the big airport fight scene, which is just amazing!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Well, it is just...
Spoilers, but yeah.
Well, everybody knows about the airport.
Yeah, the airport fight...
We won't go into detail. Just, oh my gosh.
They could have ended the movie after the airport fight, in my opinion. I mean, not that they could have. There's tons of revelations after that.
Yeah, they couldn't have done that.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying is that the nerd in me was... I was so... to see so many characters on screen, and part of me kind of wishes they didn't spoil Spider-Man. Like, I mean, of course...
I do, too. That would have been such a nice surprise.
I would have lost my head. I wish
spoil everything with cast announcements and all of that.
Yeah, I wish you could, just shut off the world, just live in a bubble, and then just see this movie, because my head would have exploded, to introduce Spider-Man and then have this fight or whatever, and then,
But they did have a lot of surprises. Mm-hmm. Like, things happened in this movie that was like, oh, I'm so happy that happened! I had no idea that it would. Kind of hoped it would, but I had no idea. So, if you think you've seen this movie from the trailers, you have not seen this movie.
Yeah.
Go see this movie. It is freaking amazing. You need to see this movie. Now, I will say, it does require a little homework. If you haven't seen the other movies, it probably won't resonate as much. I mean, it'll still be awesome, mm-hmm. but you won't have the emotional resonance that you would if you had at least seen the other Captain America movies, a couple of the Iron Man movies, and the Avengers movies. Mm-hmm. So, you don't have to see Thor, you don't have to see... you kind of have to see Ant-Man. You don't necessarily have to see it, but it's better if you have...
Yeah, it makes, you know, kind of, you know. And then once again, all these movies kind of, you know, if you're seeing this movie, you've had to have seen, you know, like, not that you had to, but, you know, I think if you're listening to this podcast, you've had to have watched all these
movies. If you're listening to this podcast and you have not seen these movies and turn in your geek credit card, whatever. I think now we can say fantastic movie, very entertaining, very fun. Good drama too. Mm-hmm. So it's the whole package, man. We both agree it's the best Marvel movie yet, and it makes me very excited that the Russo brothers are going to be doing Infinity War, because after Age of Ultron, I don't think I would necessarily want Joss Whedon to do Infinity War.
Yeah,
because
he gave us one good movie, and he gave us the Avengers, and that's it.
You know, I still think that he could be a good director, but I don't think he's good for Marvel.
Yeah.
Necessarily. You know. But the Russo brothers have already proved that they can do a kick-ass Avengers movie and not shortchange anybody, which is an accomplishment. I cannot say that enough. And now, I think we can get into spoilers. I'm going to let you start.
Okay, let's go into spoilers. I think the biggest spoiler here, and I do use the word biggest, the thing that made me, like, literally, like, okay, maybe I didn't jump out of my seat, but I definitely, like, scooted up in my seat and, like, clenched my fists. Ant-Man becomes Giant Man. This was, you know, in the middle of the airplane fight, you know, and it's one of those deals where, like, and once again, you said you had an idea that it was going to come, not that it was coming, but there was so much going on that kind of, in no way in my head, it was like, oh yeah, he's got his turn as a Giant Man. You know, I had a feeling it was going to happen in this movie. But when he goes, oh, I'm going to do something, and you know, I've done it before, and you know, but only lasted a couple seconds or whatever, and I'll see if I can
handle it. We need a distraction. Something big. I got something big.
That
let me say, Ant-Man is so good in this movie. It's kind of weird that both him and Spider-Man are in this movie, because they're kind of similar in how they react to things, because they're both newbies, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But Ant-Man's just, he's so energetic and excited to be there. He's like, yeah, I get to be one of the guys. Hey, I know you know a lot of super people, so thanks for thinking of me. Yeah. When he first shows up and he sees Captain America, he's like, Captain America! You're amazing. He looks over to Scarlet Witch. You're cool too. Oh, hey man, sorry about that time before. And Falcon calls him Tic Tac, which is funny.
Yeah, because remember, and you know, at the end of Ant-Man is when they tease that scene from Captain America: Winter Soldier.
I know a guy who knows a guy. You know, and he says yes.
And I'll be honest.
I honestly thought Ant-Man was going to show up sooner in this movie. Like, the whole time I'm like, where's Ant-Man? I know he's in this movie.
And I'll be honest with you. And I liked Ant-Man. I really did. I don't like Paul Rudd. And that's just me. That's my own personal thing. I think he's annoying and irritating. Although I liked Ant-Man and I liked his role here in Civil War. You know, this is the first time I can honestly say I've ever wanted more Paul Rudd in the movie. Even in his own movie, I'd rather have more of the Spanish character. I forgot the actor's name. You know, I wanted more of that guy and less of Paul Rudd and Ant-Man. But this was
I loved him.
Yeah, and him, like Spider-Man, is sort of coming from the point of view of the people watching the movie. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you know, it's sort of like, you know, oh, here's someone who has
everything that's happening is crazy.
Yeah. You know, if you got your powers, you know, like when we meet Spider-Man, Spider-Man's only had his powers for 6 months. When we meet Ant-Man, you know, I'm assuming Ant-Man probably took place before this movie, you know, probably closer to like a real-time kind of deal where Ant-Man's probably also only had his powers for about 6 months or so, or less than a year at least, you know. And so they're all relatively new as opposed to people who've had these powers for years, you know, Captain America, you know, since, you know, I mean.
So he's still learning how to use all this stuff. And he makes some amusing mistakes, like when he throws the little truck. He tells Captain America to throw the little truck and throw the thing that makes things larger. And then it explodes in War Machine's face. And he's like, oh, I thought that was a water truck. Smart on Cap to have Ant-Man hiding in his shield, right? That was really smart.
And then the scene with Hawkeye when he's on Hawkeye's arrow straight out of the comics.
Yeah, straight out of the comics. Okay, arrow guy. I'm ready. Who is talking? It's your conscience. We don't speak very often. And Iron Man has a way to flush Ant-Man out of his suit, which winds him up on Falcon's armor for sure.
And
also, let's talk about Falcon. Falcon is fighting Iron Man and War Machine, and Falcon has, like, tech, but he doesn't have an armored suit. That seems really reckless.
It's just a guy with wings, that's it, and a jetpack.
Bird costume. Bird costume? Really?
Your receipt for a bird costume. And one thing I did like is that they brought in, I guess that's probably why I was thinking about Red Falcon. They bring in the character Red Wing, which in the comics is Red Falcon's actual Falcon.
who he could talk to telepathically. Now it's all technology.
They made it a drone. And, you know, in this day and age, like, I wouldn't have put that two together. I wouldn't have said, okay, let's ditch the bird and make it a drone. You know, in this day and age of like so much drone fear or whatever the case may be, you know, that's, you know, there's, and it's smart and it's, you know, or relatively smart, you know, and it could do reconnaissance and stuff like that. You know, of course, you know, and you wouldn't bring an actual Falcon to fight, you know, people shooting missiles. So why not have a drone, you know?
Yeah.
So I dug that. That was kind of cool what they did with the Red Falcon. Okay, let me see. What other things I liked? I mean, Spider-Man, you know, when Tony Stark goes
to visit
Queens. Now,
I loved it when he was talking with Peter in his room, and he's like, why do you do this? You know, he kind of gives you the gist of Peter Parker's character. And anybody who compares him to Andrew Garfield's Amazing Spider-Man is just no. The Peter Parkers there are night and day. That Peter Parker was too cool to be Peter Parker.
He was
Edward being Cullen. Relatively mute.
It was Twilight Spider-Man.
This Peter Parker is Peter Parker, and he actually sounds like he's from Queens, which is something that they haven't really done before. Yeah, and I love Spider-Man interacting with these other characters. The time that he interacts with Captain America, I love that. His little conversation with Tony Stark, love that. His fight with Falcon and Bucky, which, by the way, Falcon and Bucky, where's the buddy cop movie of Falcon and Bucky? I want it right now. Move the seat up.
There was a lot of speculation that that Captain America would not die in this movie, but be taken out in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
and then, you know,
because Bucky's been Captain America in the comics, and so has Sam Wilson. Now is Captain America in the comics. So either could happen or both.
Yeah, that would be an interesting how you could hypothetically, you can't have a Captain America 4 where, you know, something bad happens to Cap and then, you know, Sam and Bucky fight for the mantle, you know, or for the lack of, not fight, but, you know, there'll be some sort of one-upsmanship or whatever. One thing I got to say about that Spider-Man fight is one thing we haven't seen, and don't be wrong, I love the Sam Raimi, you know, one and two, the first two Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Oh, yeah, they're great. They're campy, but they're great.
You've never seen Spider-Man move like this, where he's
shooting absolutely
both webs, slingshotting himself, you know, doing real, like, you know, acrobatics, throwing himself through little small holes and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. It's all CG, but it looks so good.
Yeah, but I'm saying you've never seen that fighting style where he's slingshotting himself everywhere.
Like a spider, too. And no. Black Panther moved like a cat.
Oh yeah. You know, I mean,
so you like it. What? It's cat costume.
Now, the one thing I like, just after freaking, you know, do we have to have another Brit playing an American character? Because, you know, Spider-Man is played by the kid's Brit.
Yeah.
You know, doing a New York accent. I forget about it. Hey,
I do feel like he broke that on occasion. Hey, but, man, yeah, man, whatever. The performance is so good for all.
Hey, man, have a bagel. Hey, forget about it. So, but
forget,
I mean.
Forget about it.
Now, one thing I noticed is that, I mean, of course, Iron Man had a lot of chemistry with Spider-Man. Obviously, they've announced that Iron Man is going to be in the Sony, you know, Homecoming, you know, Sony's, which is basically Marvel's making a movie and letting Sony distribute it. That's basically what's going on. Marvel's going to do all the heavy lifting, and Sony's just going to cash a check.
That's good. That's one thing I'm a little concerned about, because the Russo brothers are not doing that Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. So,
but I'm saying, if I understand it correctly, it's basically Marvel's making the movie, and Sony's just going to cash a check, which I hope they do. Now, one thing is that, now, if you remember, in Iron Man 3, Iron Man took to this young boy or whatever and was sort of seeing him as like a student, like a mentor, mentee kind of deal. And that
went nowhere.
You know what I'm saying? Like that nothing, you know, nothing cares. No one cares about that kid. If I didn't bring it up, you would have probably never mentioned that kid or whatever. Like, you know, now we finally see a real comparison as opposed to some kid walking around in a garage, where we do see a mentor, mentee, you know, Spider-Man, where, you know, we could easily see how Tony Stark is going to be an integral character in the Spider-Man movies, or at least the first one, you know, where,
yeah,
you know, and there's, you know, there's so many places they can go, and there's so much tech they can use. I mean, if they even want to bring in like the Iron Spider, you know, where it's like, you know, basically Spider-Man's outfit, you know, that sort of like, it looks like Iron Man's.
Yeah, you were kind of hoping for that to pop up in this movie, weren't you?
Well, no. What I like, and it's one thing also, that they cast a young kid. You know, now with that being said, now we can have 3 or 4 Spider-Man movies and watch this character grow up. People like, and I think, and once again, this is totally, maybe it's just my opinion, I like the fact that it kind of made him look like he did in the 60s. Like,
yeah.
And so I think as the movies progress, as in all these movies do, every movie kind of redesigns every character's costume. We're going to see him look more like the modern Spider-Man. So why not start him out as the corny Stan Lee Spider-Man and his amazing friends? You know, that kind of corny looking Spider-Man.
It's very Steve Ditko looking. Yeah.
And what a great way to do it. You know, then we could progress to, you know, Jim Lee. You know, we could progress to what's the guy? I'm drawing a blank. Todd McFarlane. You know, we could progress to those kind of Spider-Man, because, you know, and it's you know, in my opinion, I'm super excited because we have this, you know, young kid. We can have a 2, 3, and 4, and, you know, and in my mind, you know, growing up, Spider-Man was always a high school student. So at least in the first movie, he's going to be in high school, and it's called Homecoming for a reason. It's going to take place in high school, you know, or high school is going to be an integral part of it. So, you know, I'm super excited about that. Now, just letting you know, it's right around the time I may have to get kicked out of this office, so we may have to cut this short.
That is regrettable. Maybe we'll have to reconvene at another time. So, I kind of wanted to talk more about the plot of the movie, but probably better for people to just experience that. And I apologize, I've probably spoiled a lot of really great lines, but yeah, you won't know when they're coming. So, so the actual plot of this movie, you know, Bucky gets framed, essentially, and there's a reason for that, and it's all... Okay, so he goes to see that one Hydra agent, and he tries to get information out of him. If that one Hydra agent had just been like, yeah, sure, I'll tell you about the case file, a lot of this stuff wouldn't have happened, which I suppose would be a less compelling movie, but it definitely could have shaved some runtime off. yeah.
But then we would have gotten Black Panther.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he probably still would have gotten involved in some way. Also, the reason why Black Panther gets involved, I saw that coming a mile away. As soon as that character showed up at the UN thing, I was like, this thing's about to blow up, so he's gonna die. Yeah. Would totally saw that telegram. And honestly, the big twist of, because the bad guy's trying to split up the Avengers. That's his whole plot. Mm-hmm. And this is the movie's version of Zemo, who is a very different version than you have ever seen in the comics. But he's just a guy from Sokovia who wants the Avengers to split up because... And he reasons, many very powerful men have tried to destroy the Avengers and failed. The only thing that can destroy the Avengers is the Avengers. Mm-hmm. And I feel this is kind of also a statement that more or less proves that all Marvel movies, except for ones involving Loki, all the villains are just not very good.
Yeah.
Kind of the weakest point of Red Skull was great, but I feel like they underutilized him.
Well, to bring back a line that you said, that Captain America says, I'm the only one that can get Bucky because I'm the only one who won't get killed doing it. So the only person you can send to stop the Avengers are other Avengers, you know, turn them against each other.
Exactly! And that's why you have this moment where they're all fighting, and it's great. But the whole point is to make the Avengers split up, and he does that with revealing something to one of the Avengers, and it all relates to a previous mention of the Winter Soldier. So I don't necessarily need to spoil any more of that. Just go see the movie. It's freaking great. Maybe we will reconvene and talk more about what we thought about it, but I think we hit the highlights.
Yeah. So why don't you let the people know how they can reach you, Sketch?
You can find me on Twitter at Sketch1984. You can listen to my podcast, the Toonami Faithful Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, or you can go to ToonamiFaithful.com and podcast.ToonamiFaithful.com to listen to it there. And you can also ask me questions on ask.fm/Sketch1984. I will answer pretty much any kind of question, except for particularly rude ones. But sometimes I'll answer the rude ones if I feel mean. That'll do it for me.
And please visit twostrangersonepodcast.net where you can find all things show related. First and foremost, you can find our old episodes. You can go back about 3 or 4 years and listen to our episodes on iTunes. Or you can just go on iTunes and search for Two Strangers One Podcast. If you don't have an iPhone or an iPad or an iPod, you can find us on the Stitcher app. That's STITCHER. The Stitcher app, it's pretty much what I use. It's all the podcasts I listen to. Chris Hardwick's The Nerdist, Kevin Smith's Modcast, of course, Sketches Baby, the Toonami Faithful Podcast, Two Strangers on Podcast. What I like to do is I put it on the listen later option and the download listen later option and offline mode. So basically when you're in a Wi-Fi spot like the library or McDonald's or your own home, you could download all the episodes and listen to them later on where you're at work and something like that, or out and about or driving or wherever you do when you're listening to podcasts without killing your battery or your data plan. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/twostrangersonepodcast. Of course, we want your money. We need your money. But if you can't do that, just takes 2 seconds to share and like this episode on your page. Like us, share us, share this particular episode in general if stuff like that. It would definitely be very supportive. If you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to us at twostrangersonepodcast@gmail.com. That's all spelled out, twostrangersonepodcast@gmail.com. Write us anything. You know, if you want to see more of Sketch on the show, I definitely like it. You know, and I do all the hard. I'll do all.
Well,
the
I'm definitely coming back for Ninja Turtles because the nerd rage is evident. Actually, I think I'm gonna like this one. I don't think it's gonna be a great movie, but I think I will enjoy it because you got Bebop, Rocksteady, Krang, and
Casey Jones.
It seems like and Casey Jones. And though the plot's probably gonna be pretty stupid, it at least seems like they know what they're doing this time. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I'm going to hate this one nearly as much as I hated the first one. And I loathe that movie.
The nerds have spoken. also, one of the things that would definitely help the show and is you can listen to old episodes. The old episodes that you can't find on iTunes, you could find on YouTube. Just go on YouTube and search for Two Strangers on a Podcast. All the older episodes, and we run out of space on the server, I throw it up on YouTube. And then I do my own personal stranger vlogs. So that, you know, sort of like just little snippets here and there. As we were recording this, like I just put one up earlier today on the 11th of May. So check that out. Watch the videos. I can't tell you to click on the links for the advertisers, but if you did that, it would certainly help. We certainly hope you guys enjoyed listening and had as much fun as we did recording. Thank you for listening to Two Strangers, One Podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sketch.
Don't be a stranger. Peace. We're out.
Bye.
Stranger danger.
You should be fapping.
Way ahead of you.
All right, here we go, man. Go ahead. You want to read
Double it? Jackpot.
What is it?
It is a self-published book by Christopher Colon.
Chris Colon? Smells good to me. But look at her. That broke that fucking cold little look to her. He's like, hee.
But it is spelled C-O-L-O-N.
Him punny.
But Double Jackpot is a book about a comic book artist, Eric, who is in a loveless relationship with a materialistic
I feel you, Eric.
Lynette.
Fucking, are you sure I didn't write this? I sounds hauntingly familiar.
He starts cheating on his girlfriend with a more creatively supportive woman, Nadia.
Well, I gotta meet her. Where's the Nadia?
There's your summer girlfriend.
Summer Nadia! Is Nadia.
Nadia?
Yeah, I think Nadia is spelled with an A.
Alright.
Both Lynette and Nadia play the double jackpot, the largest payout in lotto history, much like the recent Powerball. Both girls play his birth date as the winning numbers. Eric is now stuck between two of the country's richest women. Who will he choose? It's not that simple. This is a clever fucking idea,
yeah,
man.
Is.
Look at her. Fucking, she's impressed.
I am.
Summer, she got some summer reading. Christopher Colon smells real lovely with an original idea. This is. I've never heard this before.
I haven't either. This is a self-published book, much in the indie spirit as Kev's Clerks.
Oh, you don't even need to name check me. This is just a good idea. You could stand on your own, man. You don't even have to be like, hey, remember Clerks? This is nothing like that. This is way more original than Clerks. This is a good idea, man. Why didn't I think of this?
I need something to read. This book is part of the Comic Books, Heavy Metal, Video Games Trilogy Book 2. Odd I See, A Tale from the Road, coming soon.
Right on, man. It's part of a trilogy. This is the first part.
Way to write, man.
He's seeking a literary agent. Motherfuckers, anybody out there? There ain't no literary agents listening to this show, I assure you, sure. Sure, I assure you, sure. But somebody know a literary agent? Hook a motherfucker up! Chris Colon come up with an original idea. I should tell Raskin, that's a good fucking idea, to be honest
too.
With you. That's a fucking rom-com right there. Megan, get Raskin on the phone. Isn't it possible to get Raskin on the phone? No?
Yeah.
I want to run it past him, man. I want to, and if it happens, I get a taste, Chris Colon. I get a whiff, if you will.
The book could also be ordered on www.lulu.com.
That's lulu.com.
I understand that. I just want to spell it out.
Normally one says it that spells it. Still, lulu.com. What is that? Do you know what it is?
I don't know. All right. The book could also be ordered on www.lulu.com. Search for Double Jackpot Christopher Colon. A paperback version of the book is $15 and a PDF file is only $5.
$5
yeah.
is insanely inexpensive. $15 is not even that bad for hard, for paperback version.
No.
This is a $1 million idea right here. Like a fucking movie about a dude who fucking is stuck between two chicks, both of who play his birthday and win the lottery. Come on!
I
can see that trailer. Chris Colon is on to something. Nobody else can smell it but me.
I'll read it.
Thank you. I'm going to make that smelly joke.
I know. You're trying to get me to laugh again.
It worked once. Double Jackpot is a self-published book by Chris Colon, man. It's the first book in his comic books, heavy metal, video games trilogy. Book 2, Odd I See, A Tale from the Road, should be coming out soon. Get all the information at Chris Colon, like a motherfucker.
And his book. I will totally read this.
Double Jackpot. I'm serious. I'm going to recommend that to fucking Raskin. How is that not a movie? You know what I'm saying? This could be a sexy movie. You could do an R-rated version. There could be nudie in it, and you could sell them fucking both chicks. Maybe a little penetration. Maybe a butthole shot. No butthole, no care.
I would like to formally apologize to Christopher Colon.
Sex sells. Chris Colon will appreciate that. He's like, thanks for throwing a few buttholes in there, man.
Don't forget to check out twostrangersonepodcast.net, your one-stop resource for everything show-related. You can find links to subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher. You could also find links to buy my book, Double Jackpot, on twostrangersonepodcast.net.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, you're cool, and fuck- fuck you, I'm out.